Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome everyone to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. Before we begin, a shout out to James, my cohort, my teenage cohort here on Good News, who's because of work responsibilities has been unable to join me for the last couple of sessions, but hopefully we'll be returning next week. Always look forward to having James here. He has great questions, and they're questions that I think are reflective of what's on the minds of a lot of teenagers when it comes to Scripture and an understanding of Christ in their life. So, James, hope you're doing well. Work hard and come back and see us real soon. And while you're working, remember to set aside some of that income you're getting to tithe or to for alms. Use that to support the poor. I know my parents, do they do allowances anymore? I used to get an allowance. Made my bed clean, you know, did my chores around the house. And I got paid for it. My father gave us money.
James used to get paid.
James used to get paid. So, but there was a bargain that had to be struck for this. The money had to be used certain ways. A percentage of the money, 25% of whatever we earned for our allowance, had to go into savings. And we all had our own. We went to the bank. We opened up our own savings account. Now, these were in the days where savings account actually earned interest, which they really don't do now. So I guess the equivalent now is that 25% of what you earn has to go into your mattress for savings. Another 25% had to go into the collection basket at church. So we had our own envelopes, and every week we were expected to put 25% of our allowance. This wasn't a huge allowance. We're talking a couple of bucks, so like 50 cents or so, had to go into the collection envelope, and we had to put it in the collection basket at church. So 25% to savings, 25% had to go into the collection box. So that left us 50%. Now that 50% we could use however we wanted. And what we learned was, as we watched our savings mount up, we learned, ooh, if I put more into savings, that's even cooler. So a lot of us learned to live on our on 25%, put 50% into savings, put 25% into the basket. Well, then we started hearing, so you're keeping more money for yourself than you're using for others. Okay, so now we start looking at moving a little more money into the basket because God loves a cheerful giver, right? So I must say that there were times where more went into savings, times where more went into the basket. But we tried to strike, if not an equilibrium, we at least tried to think about the fact that we have a responsibility to use what we have to help others. You know, going back to fishes and loaves, one of the things that I thought, I really didn't talk about that in that episode, but we'll talk about now, was when Philip said, you know, even if we had all this money, we couldn't feed these people. Well, that's not true, because a young boy with no money helped to feed these people. No matter how little you have, there is some that can be shared for the good of others. And Jesus showed that by taking the very meager fishes and loaves that were held by that young boy and was able to use it for the benefit of thousands without the need for a lot of money. So anyone who's saying, well, I have to wait till I have a lot of money before I can help charitable causes. I need to make a lot of money before I can start giving to the church because I need that money. That's a real dangerous attitude. I know a lot of people who work very hard and take most of their money and use it towards ministry, towards charitable work, towards the good of others. And they're really happy people, I have to say. They live happy lives. So the thought that you have to have a lot of stuff, a lot of money or a lot of stuff before you can affect other people's lives, is simply not true, and Christ shows us that throughout all of Scripture. So pay attention to that, because it's an important lesson, and the sooner you learn it, the happier you'll be in your life. Okay, so one other thing I want to cover before we get into our readings is good news. So the good news I have to share this week is things are changing at the Mass. We've got holy water back in the fonts. We've got people sitting in the pews who are sitting next to each other. We're giving the sign of peace again during Mass. You know, there's contact, there's community going on. We've already, at our church, we've already started to plan. It's about to come up. We're going to have another breakfast. We were doing monthly breakfasts. And that all went on hold for all during the COVID. So for over a year and a half, we haven't had our parish breakfasts, pardon me, and they're coming back again. All very good signs, all very good things. Mass the other day, and I don't want to say this as in the people who are wearing masks are wrong, because I don't think they are. It's a personal choice. If you're more comfortable wearing a mask to be at Mass, you should wear the mask, because the important thing is that you're at Mass. So I counted, we had a pretty good crowd. It was really nice to see so many people have returned to Mass. I counted 8 face masks in church. 8, with an almost full church. Now, again, if that makes you more comfortable, or if your doctor is recommending that, or you know for your own health, you need to wear the mask, wear the mask. Come to church, wear the mask. But it was just so great to see so many people back in the church again. And now we're bringing the gifts up, where before they were just up at the altar, because we didn't want to process people through the church with the gifts. So now we're processing up with the gifts, and that's such a beautiful sign. I love offertory, not because of the passing of the basket. I like offertory, the point where as we sing and celebrate, we bring bread and wine to the altar, because that's really, really important to me. One of the things I get to do in my ministry is baptisms. And a lot of people don't realize how closely related baptism is to the offertory. But think about this. At this critical portion in the Mass, at the turning point where we're going from the part of the Mass where we're celebrating the Word, and now we're going to go into the Eucharist, celebration of the Eucharist. It starts with people bringing bread and wine to the priest to present at the altar. So God gives us the wheat of the field, and through the efforts of humankind, we improve that wheat into bread, and we give that bread back to God as a gift, as our sacrifice. And God takes that gift and perfects it into the body of Christ and gifts it back to us. So there's this wonderful exchange of gift giving. So the wine, God gives us the grapes, the fruit of the field, and the fruit of the vine. And humankind, through human effort, improve it into wine. And we offer it back to God as a gift, as our sacrifice. And God takes that wine and perfects it into the blood of Christ and gives it back to us as a gift, as the blood of Christ. So we have this back and forth gift giving. And he does this because he loves us. I mean, that's why you give gifts to people, right? Because you love them. You don't give gifts to your enemies. You give gifts to your friends, people you want to endear yourself to or have endeared themselves to you, and you give them a gift. So God gives us these gifts. And so we're constantly exchanging gifts. Well, think about baptism. God gives us the gift of life. And through human effort, that these two lives now create a third life through cooperation with God. And at baptism, these parents bring this gift of life and give it back to God. And God takes that and perfects that life, cleanses it of all sins, puts his stamp on it, and says, "This is now my life. I own this life." He puts this indelible mark on our souls as Christians and said this now says, "You brought me your child, which I helped you create. You brought him back to me, and now I mark him as mine. but I'm going to give them back to you, just like he gives us back the body of Christ and gives us back the wine. Now I'm going to give this human life back to you as my gift for you to protect until it returns to me. So offertory is this exchanging of gifts. Baptism is this same personal, very personal exchanging of gifts with God. So I love doing baptisms for that reason, and I love offertory during the Mass, one of my favorite parts of Mass outside of the communion itself, the Eucharist itself, is to watch this exchange and to realize this isn't just people carrying stuff up an aisle. This is the beginning of this series of exchanges with God that ends with us bringing our lives that have been kept alive in Christ through the Eucharist, eventually bringing them back to God, perfected to be with him forever. So I love the offertory. So it's great. I'm really excited now to see the offertory procession is back in our Masses. The other thing that I found really good news, and this is going to sound very, very selfish, and I apologize for that part, but I hope you'll find some redeeming value in this. So normally at the end of Mass, after the dismissal, the priest and the deacon would walk out of the church. We represent the disciples in the walk to Emmaus who turn around and walk back to where they came from. And the whole congregation then follows us. That's the end of the Mass. The whole Mass is walk to Emmaus, but the end is the disciples, now that they've heard the word of God and they've been fed by Christ, just as in the story of the walk to Emmaus, they now turn around and they walk back to where they came from. So we all go out the doors in the church, back into the secular world, and we take back into the secular world the things that we learned from Christ during the Mass. I find that extraordinary. So anyway, we walk out and we stand outside the doors and we get to socialize with the congregation as they leave. We get to talk with them and share joy with them, the joy of the Mass, but just the joy of our personal lives. I get to see friends I haven't seen in a long time. So I haven't stood at those doors since mid-March of 2020. That's a long time to be with, and all I see are face masks for over a year. I don't get to see people's smiles. I can't see what's going on in them because I need to see the face. I even have trouble identifying some people. I see them on the streets with ball caps and face masks, and they're members of my parish, and I don't even recognize them. But now, I get to stand, and this was so cool because I was about in tears when I first got to do it a week ago. I got to stand outside the door and greet people again, see faces, and shake hands. So there were some fist bumps. That's cool. I don't mind that. There's some elbow bumps. When I walk down, if you're a young person at church, teenager, younger, and you're on my side of the aisle as we walk out, I fist bump and elbow bump with the young people as I leave. I want them to know they're welcome at Mass, and I'm happy to see them. So, and now I've caught Father doing that on the other side of the aisle. He'll reach up and fist bump the kids. So I think that's very cool. So anyway, I get to stand at the door now and greet people, and I haven't done that for like 15, 16 months. I just want you guys to know I miss you all. I miss our congregation, and it's so nice to have that community back again. And I hope we're able to stay in it for a long time to come. I hope we learned a lot of lessons from this pandemic. And I hope and pray that we never have to face this kind of issue again, where we're forced to be separated from each other for so long. All right. That's enough of the opening. I've already spent half our time. We're going to pause for a few messages. We'll come back to this Sunday's readings.
Stay tuned. Good news will be right back on Catholic Spirit Radio.
It's time to mark your calendar for Monday, September 13th, and join your friends at the Monsignor Greg Ketchum Memorial Golf Outing to be held at Crestwick Country Club in Bloomington. It's sure to be a great day of golf, food, contests, golf, fellowship prizes, and did I mention golf? Your entry fee includes green fees, golf cart, lunch, dinner, mulligans, side games, and much, much more. Sponsored by the Knights of Columbus Council 15175, it's open to men and women. Check-in is at 11 a.m. with the shotgun start at noon and will be a four-person best position contest. For event details, visit our website at kfc15175.org, kfc15175.org, or call 309-825-9720. That's 309-825-9720.
60 Seconds with Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That is why those who share that Spirit understand one another so readily. To try to teach people about Christ and the mysteries of our holy faith is almost like trying to teach a blind man color, unless those people are ready to receive the Spirit of Christ himself. Now, converts who take instruction come to know that Jesus is our Lord. Where do they learn it? From the Spirit. The Holy Spirit woos the soul, draws it to a closer fellowship, to a more intimate union, becomes our sanctifier, just as the Father is our Creator and the Son is our Redeemer.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
And welcome back to Good News here on Catholic Spirit Radio. I'm Deacon Al. I am an ordained permanent deacon of the Peoria Diocese, serving parishes here in Bloomington Normal, and also doing other stuff in the diocese that the bishop calls us to do. So very happy to be doing Good News and trying to open up the Gospels for everyone, but especially for teenagers, to understand that there's a loving God and he's active in your life, and he wants you to pay attention, and he wants to have a relationship with you, and he's there waiting for you. You just need to open yourself up to him. So we're going to look at today's readings from the Mass. We're just going to do the first reading and the Gospel. We're continuing with chapter 6 of the Gospel of according to John, where we have the Bread of Life discourse, where Christ reveals himself as the bread of life, and also reveals the true nature of communion. And again, what we've talked about in the past few weeks as we started this discourse was whether you're Catholic or non-Catholic, you need to sit down and read John 6. It's really, really important, because this is one of the main division points between our Christian traditions, is who and what is Christ and what is the communion. Exactly. And John 6, in no uncertain terms, lays that out in Christ's own words. I'll get that spit out there. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He tells you exactly who he is and exactly what the Eucharist is. And yet there are some of us who go by a tradition that's been built up over a few hundred years within our church and turn our hearts and our minds away from what the Scripture actually says. And so I challenge everyone, if you're not convinced, if you're not absolutely convinced that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ, changed, transcended, transubstantiated into the real presence of Christ, then you have turned your back on what Scripture says in John 6. Because Christ is very specific about this, and we're going to continue with that story for the next couple of weeks. So we'll start with the Old Testament reading from the Mass for this weekend, which is a reading from the Book of Kings, and then we'll continue on with the Gospel according to John. Elijah went on a day's journey into the desert until he came to a broom tree and sat beneath it. He prayed for death, saying, "This is enough, O Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's." He lay down and fell asleep under the broom tree, but then an angel touched him and ordered him to get up and eat. Elijah looked, and there at his head was a hearth cake and a jug of water. After he ate and drank, he laid down again. But the angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and ordered, "Get up and eat, else the journey will be too long for you." He got up, ate, and drank. Then, strengthened by that food, he walked for 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. The word of the Lord. So let's look at this scripture passage real quick. So Elijah, one of the prophets of God, has felt like he's failed God in his mission. And he's on this journey to see God and to say, "You know what? I failed. I'm sorry. I'm done." And he heads out into the desert. And after just a day, and you can imagine spending a whole day in the desert. I just got back from Vegas several weeks ago, and the coolest day my first week was 114 degrees. And I don't think that was anything compared to what Elisha was going through in the desert. I at least had an air-conditioned house I could trot back into every now and then whenever things got to be too much to me. There's no way I could have spent all day outdoors in 114, 116-degree weather. So here he is all day in the desert, and come nighttime, he's done. He's completely done in. And he sits down and he says, "God, just take me now." I think we've all had those moments where we've been so exasperated in our life. We've said, "Just God, take me now." I know we have people in our own parish that we work with who are very ill or very elderly or have been through such great trauma in their life that they have those moments where they say, "You know, God, just take me now." And an angel comes to Elijah and said, "Not yet. You're not done yet." And what strengthens him but bread? And again, we see this. We're going to see this in the gospel again. And we see it in the Mass in communion, that it's the bread of life. So a very simple, a very, very simple product that gives us the strength to continue on, even through adversity, in the case of Elisha. And in the case of many Catholics and Christians, where they're kept going by the promise and the strength they gain through the Eucharist. We talk about that the Eucharist is the pinnacle of our Catholic belief, that it feeds us and gives us strength. It gives us not only spiritual strength, but it gives us physical strength. We take into our person the person of Christ. And so it strengthens us in so many ways. And Elisha was no different. He gains the strength to continue his journey, just like the Eucharist gives us the strength to continue our earthly journey to God. To the goal is God, and Elisha's goal is to meet God. And it says he walks for 40 days and 40 nights. You need to understand that numbers in Scripture have meaning. It's like a secret code. 7, 40, 3, these all have very special meanings throughout Scripture. 40 means a period of cleansing. So you think about that. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. The flood lasted 40 days. The tribes of Israel wandered through the Sinai for 40 years. 40 means a period of cleansing, a period of purification. So it's saying that in his journey to God, Elisha's being purified. Well, that's what our journey through life, as we go to Mass and we partake in communion, the Eucharist gives us that strength. The word of God that we hear in our readings give us strength. They purify us. They make us more Christ-like on our journey to God. So going to Mass helps us on that journey. Following the teachings of Christ strengthens us on that journey. And so this scripture is inviting us to follow Elisha's example, and go on this journey relying on the bread of God, the Eucharist, to keep us going, to keep us moving towards God. So our reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, a continuation of the bread of life discourse. The Jews murmured about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Do we not know his father and mother? Then how can he say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Stop murmuring among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father had sent who sent me, draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they all shall be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. So in this reading, again, Jesus is using these very important words of I am, the words that God gave Moses when Moses said, what is your name so that I can tell the people who I've talked with? And God says, I am. And Jesus now, throughout John, uses that same term over and over and over again. And John's trying to get us to understand through his gospel, through the scriptures, who Jesus was, that Jesus was God come down from heaven. Jesus says, I'm the living bread came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the church. And Jesus is actually talking about two things here. He's talking about giving of his flesh on the cross, and he's talking about the giving of his flesh through the Eucharist. And he's going to explain that even more in the next chapter. And again, this stiff-necked people is going to say, I don't believe that. It's too much for me to accept. And we do that again even today. We say, even in the Catholic faith, we have too many Catholics who say that they still don't understand that Jesus is present in the bread and the blood of Christ, in the bread and the wine of communion, that they are transformed in their essence into the body and blood of Christ. They can't accept that, and they walk away from their faith, just as many as of Jesus' disciples. When he says that in our next reading, you'll hear that they turn and walk away from their faith. Jesus is the bread of life, and you must eat of his flesh. Read John 6. No matter what your Christian tradition, read John 6 and compare it to what your tradition is and ask, do I follow the tradition or do I follow the words of Christ in our scripture? These are important questions, and they're tough questions. And I want you to be strong and be fearless, and don't be afraid to look into this and ask yourself these important questions. It will bring you closer to Christ. This is Deacon Al on Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio. I look forward to meeting you again next week. Until then, may God bless you, protect you from all evil, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.